transition into this new part of the book, which is the practical outworking of the gospel. And in Romans 12, from verse 1 to 2, which you should be quite familiar with now, we've looked at them over the last few weeks, is Paul is urging them. He's saying, come on, guys, let's look at what God has done for us. In view of what he's done for us, we present ourselves as this living sacrifice. We are this new temple of worship to the Lord. But in order to do that, we mustn't be squashed into the mold of this world. Don't be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because when you do that, you'll understand what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. To be conformed into the image of this world is a small little box called me, me, me. It's squeezed into the way the world thinks you should be and look and act. And he says, there's something much bigger for you. You've got to be conformed, but that's going to happen as your mind is being panel beaten by this gospel, by truth, by God's opinion of you, of what God thinks about you. So he spends 8 chapters on who you are in Christ, establishing who the Holy Spirit is in you, establishing your righteousness, establishing all these principles. And he spends 8 chapters doing that. So it's the biggest part of the book, which means he had to get it right. But then he's wanting to move on and saying, church, now we've got to start thinking differently. Our minds have got to be reconfigurated. Your mind has got to be renewed. The mind, that deep part of you, the subconscious level of what you believe, what you value, how you see yourself. All those deep-seated things in the mind that have to be conformed and changed. And it's by this gospel. So he does all that in order to transition into some very practical outworking. He's saying, guys, you've got all this potential. But that potential, remember we used the illustration, behind this wall is all the potential in Durban. But it's only going to get onto that side of the building through a door. And if the door is this big, that's how much potential. If the door is that big, that's how much. And depending on how our minds have been recalibrated by the gospel and by truth, will determine how much of what God has got for this world can flow through his church into the community. Amen? So this is the transition that he's making as he moves into the next section in Romans 12, verse 3. Let's read together. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. So the first thing he's pointing out here is, think about yourself in a way that's consistent with what his gift has made you to be. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think, say think, of yourself more highly than you ought, say ought. You see, there is a way that you ought to think about yourself. That's why he said in the previous verse, don't be squeezed into conformation to this world's schemes and thinking and patterns. But your mind must be transformed to know how big and good and pleasing and perfect God's will is. So there is a way to think, but there's a way not to think. And this is how we should think, is rather think of yourself with sober judgment. Say sober judgment. With sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has been given to you. Whatever you have is because he gave it to you. And the only thing good about you and I is that thing that our faith has accessed. We accessed righteousness by faith. That's how you ought to think. Your faith accessed God's goodness. That's how you ought to think. Your faith accessed the working of His Spirit in your life. That's how you ought to think. But stay sober in how you think about yourself. Because you know how drunk people behave. Any of you seen drunk people? No. Looking at you this morning, I'm surrounded by angels. I'm in the wrong. I got to heaven sooner than I thought. They think they can take on Mike Tyson. They can achieve anything when they've had a few drinks. They're not scared of anyone, not scared of their mother-in-law, not scared of the neighbor, not scared of a dog down the road. They get an inflated opinion of what they can do and what is not impossible for them. And this is why alcohol is a problem, because it changes the personality. And he says, have a sober estimation of yourself. Rather think with sober judgment, knowing that the gift of faith God gave you is what makes you different. Not just trying to look like what this world scheme, the pattern of this world tries to put on you. I remember some years back, 5 years ago, we're in the middle, end of worship, and I called somebody up to come and pray. I knew this guy. He had a gift about praying and just stir people up. Not in the church, so don't look around now and ask who it is. But I called him up and came, and he prayed, and there was an anointing on him. And you could feel the whole temperature in the church rise as he prayed the prayer of faith. Because what was happening is his faith was accessing the gift of God. And as he came to an end of the prayer, everyone started applauding. And I just kind of caught out of the corner of my eye the expression on his face. It went from like prayer to surprise to a little bit of a smile, like a, I did real good. Just for a moment. And that was 5 years ago. We weren't going to shoot him. We weren't fully under grace at the time, but he nearly got shot. But for just a brief moment, you could see that he thought they were clapping for him. But I looked around, saw people clapping and praising God. You see what happens when we take the gift that He's given us and we get a unhealthy, inebriated perspective of ourselves. When we somehow think it's something about me and makes me look good, the moment I've done that, I've taken the focus of what my mind really needs to be changed by. And that's how I ought to think, with a sober, realistic view of myself. Are you with me this morning? Am I going a bit fast? I want to draw you a little picture. It's a little bit like this, I guess. If we all believe God is love. All right, there you go. It's just coming up. God is love. Right. Because He's love, He gives us this thing called grace. Amen. Aren't you glad about grace? And now grace issues this thing called gift. He gives us gifts. He gives gifts to His church. But we have to use a thing called faith to access that gift so that we can give it away. And in so doing, we are showing the love of God. See, this is what Paul is saying, maybe in different words over here, when he says, beg your pardon, let's go back, getting this right. Whoops, the This works so much easier in my office. For by the grace given me, I say to everyone, don't think of yourself any more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. See, Christianity is not an individualistic sport. In Romans 12, the next verse says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Look around you this morning. That's who you belong to. We belong to one another. God's grace has provided gifts that you, through your faith, can access. But in Christ, but we're not to think of ourselves any more highly than we should, but soberly thinking of ourselves because we belong to each other. Christianity is not an individualistic sport. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So we see that in the book of Ephesians, Paul is writing to these guys, and he says to them, he uses the illustration of marriage to show what this church and Christ relationship look like. And he does that to show them that Christ so loves the church. But I think we could take that illustration a bit further and show that in the same way there's a commitment between a husband and wife, there's this commitment between the believer and Christ. The believer and Christ's body. And that's what he means by we belong to one another. There's a sense in which you can't be married to every woman out there, but you can be married to a representative of all the women out there. And that's the person you're married to. And in the same way we treat her, the same way we committed to that relationship, we are committed to who they represent. Now, most of us have been married longer than 3 months. No, we're not perfect and we need lots of grace in this thing called marriage. And that's why Paul is using this as an example for the church and Christ, is because only Jesus is the perfect bridegroom. And our relationship to him is based on this grace. In the same way, we can't belong to this huge body of believers across the globe. It consists of 2,000 years. We are committed to a representative of that body, one local body, which is his church, his body of people. So that's what Paul is trying to say in Ephesians. We are the body of Christ. What is the church? This, for me, is a good definition. The church is a called out community that is a witness to the world, one, to tell God's eternal purposes that are found in the gospel, and secondly, to show a community that in Christ can transcend the barriers, sex, age, class, race, that fracture human society. So that's what the church is there for. The church is to be this voice of the gospel to the world, as if God himself was speaking through us. But at the same time, we are showing that in our belonging to each other, in our being members of the same body, we are showing the world what a community made up of so many different kinds of people, with so many different stories and backgrounds, so many different life experiences, ages, economic standing, how that group of people can come together and with one voice worship the Lord. That's showing the world, or it's supposed to show the world, what something that they can't get right. So when we come together on a Sunday like this, we come around communion, and in our oneness, we take the body, we take the bread. We are showing the world a miracle. The miracle that of the gospel of Romans 1 to chapter 1 to chapter 8 is being worked out in a community of people who belong to each other as members of a body. So this is how Paul wants to start this conversation about how to live out the gospel. He wants first to get in their minds this understanding that they are the body of Jesus Christ. That the body of Jesus Christ is made up of different members. For the body, number three, for the body to fulfill its mandate, each part has to do its part or its work. The next verse in that section says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. So are you with me, and am I with you? In verse 3, he starts off by saying, don't get your mind on how the world wants you to think about yourself. Get a sober estimation, because you are now, you've received his gifts so that through you as members of a body, you can benefit and be a blessing to each other. Now he goes on a bit more specifically and he says, we have different gifts. God's grace is accessed by faith, and those gifts take on different shapes, sizes, and experiences according to the grace given you. And then he's going to now go through a couple of these gifts and explain them. That all you are is a channel of this grace flowing through the gift by faith for the benefit of other people. When Robbie and Janine got up to worship this morning, what they had to do is by faith, they had to access that gift that Christ had for you this morning. When the person standing at the front door greeted you, hopefully what they were doing, they were accessing the gift that was available to them. They were accessing it so they could pass it on to you. That's how the gifts operate. And in Corinthians, we don't have time to go there and look at that, but he goes along a very similar explanation of how the body works and the different gifts. But what he points out there that's important for this conversation is that these gifts aren't just one allocated to one person till the day you die. Any one of us, by faith, can tap into his gifts. Now, there are dominant gifts and more gifts that we suited to in our physical giftings that come into play as well. But in the same way, somebody that's teaching children about the gospel, or someone who's standing up to preach, or someone who's playing a musical instrument, if it's just about their own gift, then it's not going to impart grace into the life of the church. You can get some, I love it when Trevor greets me in the morning. I know Bridget Elwood used to be in the church as well, and then Janet got her mantle. I mean, Janet, I can see when she greets people, she's imparting something to them. There's some people who get up here that when they minister, they're imparting something. I've seen in hospitality, in the children's ministry, when we go out on mission trips, when people operate, when Terry gets out there and organizes mission stuff with pastors, he's tapped into the gift that God has got for the church, and people receive grace. If it is serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. And listen to how Peter puts this in 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do So, as one speaking the very words of God, if anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? It's so clear that each part of the body, when it taps into God's gift and it brings grace, the body is built up and strengthened. You see, that's why Jesus put certain gifts into the church. And we want to know what your gift is. We want to know what each other's gift is, because we need that. I've got something you don't have, but you need. And you got something I don't have and I need. And the people around you have got something you don't have and you need. I went along to the prayer meeting on Wednesday morning. I kind of got there, but late, as I usually do. And they were praying along the lines of, in the back of the notices, we put our faith expectations in our family, our work, our church, etc., etc. And they were praying through those. Remember, we wrote down in the first person as accomplished. And they were going through it, praying as in the first person accomplished in their family. Praying in the first person in their finances as it's accomplished by faith. And they were going through the different categories. Like, you know, I was pleasantly delighted to see people praying the prayer of faith. But I think the thing I came away with was a reminder that in each one of those areas where we're putting our faith out and trusting God for a breakthrough, where we're giving our faith a target to aim at, where we are declaring through the prayer of faith as if we've already received it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence, holding on to the thing, God speaking of the things that are not as if they are, taking it into the present. And in all these prayers, you know what stood out to me was that the benefit of all those things was actually for others. It wasn't just for themselves. You see, when we're accessing what God's got for us by faith, and we give it away, that's the part we play. We are faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If it's prophecy, who can do with a prophetic word from time to time to encourage them? Amen? So you can go before God and by faith access that gift so that you can give it away to somebody else. We need serving. And that's the highest rank in the church, by the way. People who serve and get on behind the scenes and do things, providing they tapped in by faith to that gift and they're not doing it to make a show of themselves, they're not doing it to draw attention, they're not doing it to earn brownie points with God, my wife says. They're not doing it in order to get their significance from how other people respond and react and all that stuff. And I'm sure there's a bit of that in all of us, and I'm just being a bit idealistic here now, is hopefully when we serve, we're doing it because our faith has got hold of something from God and we want to give it away to others. When we do it with that attitude and we do it with that conviction, it never becomes hard work for us. It never becomes a burden. It never becomes something we're disappointed in because someone didn't acknowledge us or notice us. Why? Because we're too busy just giving it away. God's love had to be given away. And when I'm giving away the gift that He's put inside me, I'm demonstrating God's love. And you know, you're never going to be more fulfilled when you're giving God's love away. When you're living in a place of letting His love flow through you like a channel, you're just the riverbanks for that heavenly gift to come into other people's lives. Be it prophecy, be it serving, be it teaching. And that's not only speaking about the public unpacking of the Word of God. It's also talking about our day-to-day dealing with people and showing people how to do things. It's equipping other people. some of the theories in the economic echelons of our country right now are aimed at trying to pass on skills. And maybe they're going about it in a humanistic way. But in theory, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for you to find somebody to pass your gift on to, and your skills and your abilities. And then it certainly speaks about teaching the Word of God. Encouraging. If you want to be an encouragement to other people, you can tap in to this gift by faith and faithfully administer it. Generosity. That's a good one. Let's go back to encouraging. Who was here last Sunday morning and heard Dave and Nikki's testimony? Wasn't that an encouragement? That's why we started praying for people. We just seemed to catch a wave of faith being built up in people's lives. Was because we benefited by someone who'd been going through hardship for 4 years and struggling in an area for 4 or 5 years against all odds, an impossible situation, but somehow didn't let go of God. And somehow tapped into the grace. And when they stood up here and read out their testimony last Sunday, the church received grace. It's also true when someone's not operating in their gift, we have to extend grace to them. But when they're operating in their gift, they extend grace to us. And Dave and Nikki were just pouring out grace. Your testimony is powerful to bring encouragement to other people. Look for opportunities where your faith has had a tap in against odds, against what came naturally, where you had a fight to take hold of something. And when you share that with others, you are administering a grace. Generosity speaks for itself. Leadership. You know, a community like this needs people to take leadership and step out in leadership. And I just look around and I see different people in this church who make this church happen. But for most of you, it wasn't a job description that was given to you. You just had to make up your mind that you want to serve in a certain area and you had to bring some leadership to that area. Amen? I love being able to go and socialize around a cup of coffee afterwards. But someone got that idea sometime and they put it into practice. I like being able to go over to a bookshop where I find good grace material. Somebody had to have leadership. To start at 9 o'clock and hopefully be finished by 10:30, week after week, have a good chunky time of worship in God's presence and fellowship and hopefully get something out of the Word week to week to week, means there had to be leadership. What is your gift of leadership? You see, the body is waiting on this side of what you're tapping into. And if you don't tap into what God has got for you, for this body, if that local expression and commitment to work it out within a community that's showing the world how good God is, that's showing the world the gospel in practical, tangible way, not just when we meet on a Sunday, but certainly it includes when we meet together on a Sunday, because this is an ordained biblical mandate to bring praise, worship, preach the gospel, not to forsake the gathering together, break bread as one body, as one family, to show the world that we've transcended the barriers that fracture worldly human communities around economic status, color, language, age. That's what the church is there for. So when somebody says, well, I don't no longer be part of this community because they're too young for me, I want to go and join an older church or younger or different color or different. If they don't first consult with where their head wants them in the body, they are actually committing a form of flirting with the bride. I was going to use a stronger word. But I don't want to go too far down there, because there are dangers and control mechanisms in all that. We've got to be free as a body of believers, as God directs and leads us. But when He says that one is for you, my commitment to that one is actually a commitment to every one of you other ladies sitting out there, indirectly. And I believe that is true about the body of Christ as well. I don't get to preach this every Sunday, but let me say it here. That the way I view and treat and commit and love and pray for the local body that He has knitted me into is a reflection to how I'm treating the body of Jesus on the planet. Okay? Leadership. I just took some leadership right there. Can you take it? Mercy. Now you need a whole lot of mercy. Janet, will you come up? Give people some mercy. Now. Not just talking about good works, mercy. Talking about those who love, those who've been forgiven much, love much. You know, those who've experienced and sat under the mercy of God are able to be merciful to other people. When I've been a Christian for 1 year, I knew how every Christian should live. You know, 30 years later, I know how to show a bit of mercy. I'm getting a lot of nods this morning. That was a nice, it's a good time to take up the offering right there. Everybody was agreeing with it. There's a whole lot of older Christians here. People have been on the road a bit longer. Been on the way for a long time. Just don't get in the way. But stay on the way. Be in the way. Don't get in the way. The longer I've been around this church thing, the more I've realized that there's always an opportunity to be offended. And there's always an opportunity to bump into someone who says something, does something, or doesn't do something that can upset you. The more I've realized, we've got to be mercy givers. We've got to have a ministry of mercy. Sometimes, yeah, anyway, you get the point. You got something the person next to you doesn't have, but they need. Amen? That's the main thing I want you to hear this morning. So, sum it up. Paul is saying, we need you to be the gift He made you to be when He put you in the body. Have you found your place? And he starts there in this practical section of Romans to say, come on guys, we've had enough about the theory of sanctification and justification and glorification and redemption and atonement. He spent lots of time talking about those things to establish the believers in who they are in Christ and God's opinion of them and all that. And now he's saying, if we're going to get this thing right, that we can work it out into the world and work it out practically, first thing that's going to have to change is you're going to have to realize that we are His body here on earth. Don't think more of yourself than you should, but have a sober estimation of who you are, because there's people around you that need what you got, and you need what a whole lot of other people got. Because the hand cannot say to the foot, I don't need you, and vice versa. The body needs the body to function. But it needs the function of those who are receiving God's grace by faith and then administering it to others. Who'd like to prophesy? Who'd like to serve more? Who would like to exercise leadership? Who would like to be an encourager? Father says, this is what I've got for you, for my body. And the way you treat her is the way you're treating my son. Let's stand up. I don't know about you, but I was quite relieved to come to the end of all the justification, sanctification, glorification for a while. And just look at some of the practical outworking of it. So if you felt you got hit by a stone this morning, you felt right. The dog that barks is, the dog that yelps is the one that got hit by the stone. So if you felt like a little bit of a in you, just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But more importantly, I want to pray for you now. That what you've got, what we need, and what we've got, what you need, will be united. So I do, Father, right now, thank you for this amazing group of people of different backgrounds, different economic standards, different ages, different colors, different social situations. But a people that you've brought together in a body, in a family, who have come to love this grace of the gospel. And I want to pray for this community right now, Lord. That every ligament, every joint, every member will know where you've placed it. Will know what its purpose is. Will be all they can be as they access your grace through the gifts into the life of this church, and in this church to the world, to the nations, for the sake of the world, for the sake of the world. Let the church of Jesus Christ rise up in new power, new authority, greater love for the sake of the world. Let the church of Jesus Christ be the body of Christ on earth. Where she walks, where she talks, where she acts, where she gives, where she speaks. We pray that Jesus' message, his life, will resonate across our communities. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless.